Pastor Ray Bentley reveals a moment of revelation in the book of Acts.
Peter has a divine visitation in the form of a vision. God is getting ready to do something with Peter now. He's preparing Peter to realize, if there are foods that I can cleanse, there are human beings that I can cleanse, and that I'm going to send you to share the gospel with them.
Spread the news.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Today, as Pastor Ray continues our studies in Acts, we focus on a certain Gentile soldier and a certain Jewish fisherman. We'll see how their paths cross, miracles happen, and God's kingdom business is taken to new heights. We'll see God can use anyone for any task at any time.
And I want you to open your Bibles to Acts chapter 10. And in Acts chapter 10, we're going to actually go through this entire chapter. There's a lot in here, and it's a story. It is a story. So my comments will be a little bit less and just more reading and hearing this amazing story. It is the greatest miracle. We've seen a couple of miracles. We've seen a miracle of a physical healing. A lame man was able to walk. And then we saw an even greater miracle of a resurrection of a young lady named Tabitha. Jesus is in heaven, but through his apostle, Peter, he goes in and says, Tabitha, rise up. And resurrection is happening now through the apostles. But now we're going to look at the greatest miracle of all, which is salvation. This is a powerful story, and it's a transitional time in the book of Acts, because we're now going to move. It's mostly been just the Jewish world, and now for the first time, the gospel is going to explode beyond the Jewish world and reach into the Gentile world through a very special man and a very special story. And so that story is found in Acts chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. So let's read verses, or you can follow along as I read to you verses 1 through 8. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. How many of you would love to hear an angel call you by name? How awesome would that be? That angels know us and that they know our name, count it a privilege to serve us. So here's this very special man, and the angel knows his name and calls out, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid. He says, who is it, Lord? He doesn't know who it is. Now listen to this very carefully, what the angel said, because there are many that are like Cornelius. You love God. You pray. You are seeking God. I mean, here you are in a service in the midst of the rain and everything else. Well, listen to this. Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now, send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose nickname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius spoke to him and departed. Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. And so when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. Okay, so here's the first thing I want you to look at in your notes. Number one, a Roman centurion has a divine visitation from an angel of God. How many of you would love to have a divine visitation? So here he receives a divine visitation. He's a Roman soldier. Now, you know, Roman soldiers were the reason that he is there in the city of Caesarea. Caesarea is on the Mediterranean coast. It was the capital of the Roman government that was ruling over Israel. So Romans were not particularly loved by the Jewish people. They were there in military might and strength to control the people and to get their taxes for the Roman Empire. And by the way, this is interesting in the Gospels as well as in the book of Acts, the story of the early church. Whenever a centurion is talked about, either by Jesus or in the Gospels or in the book of Acts, it's always in a positive light. So I just want to say to all of those who are in the military that generally are there to bring peace and safety and for the, you know, the common good, you are well honored even within the stories of the Bible. And so can we say thank you to all the armed services and all that they do to protect us and for our freedom? So interesting, here was a man, he's a Roman, which means he was grown up, you know, he'd grown up in the Roman ways, and yet he's stationed, he's from Italy, but he is stationed in Israel, so he hears from the Jewish people and probably has to learn and study about who are these people, where do they come from, what's their story? So he would have heard the story of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, probably Moses, and their history and the lineage and the Ten Commandments, and that they believed uniquely in only one God. So what's interesting is this Roman soldier, man of authority, centurion, became a believer in the God of the Jewish people. By listening to them, hearing them, there was something that impressed his mind and his heart. So he began to pray to the Jewish God of Israel, the Holy One of Israel. He began even to give, so it wasn't just the beginning of a spiritual journey, he actually gave them money. He took his own salary and gave money in general toward maybe the temple or the Jewish people and to the Jewish religion. He was a man, a devout man, and a believing man up to a certain point in prayer. And I want to say this. Here was a man walking in the light that he had. As much, you know, he wasn't raised in a Jewish family, but he was there and he was learning about it and he was walking in the light he had. And I just want to say that it is important that we all walk in the light that we have. And if you walk in the light God has given to you, he will give you more light. Can I hear an amen on that? He'll give you even more light. Now, as a typical Roman, he would have been introduced to all the Roman gods, Jupiter and Mars and Venus, etc., but he had found those gods exposed to the enlightenment of Judaism, the concept of Judaism that there is one God. And therefore, he became a God-fearer, not just any God or any named God, but the Holy One of Israel, and who loved the people of Israel. But he did not, you know, he didn't become Jewish. He didn't go all the way. Now, here's what's interesting. The Jewish people 2,000 years ago obviously honored and respected Gentiles who were God-fearers, who they were Gentiles, but they believed in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. On the other hand, there was only so close they would let them come within the Jewish religion. They certainly would not share their families with them. They wouldn't share their homes with them. They wouldn't share meals with them. There was a bit of a problem within the Jewish culture because they were special and because they were the chosen of God and because they did receive the Ten Commandments and God writing his word and will upon the stone tablets given to Moses, they had been lifted up with pride and with prejudice. And they looked down their nose at anyone who was not Jewish. This was not what God had ever intended for them to be. They literally thanked God. Many of the Pharisees, thank God I wasn't born a Gentile, along with other things. But they had this pride and prejudice. And so God is about ready to do something absolutely supernatural. Now, here's what we learn about that. He's praying, this man named Cornelius, Roman soldier who believes and fears in the one true God, who prays devoutly, who gives even money to the Jewish cause. He's praying at the ninth hour. Do you know that's when the religious people pray? He was in the rhythm of praying at the ninth hour, which is one of the times of the sacrifice in the temple. So now God sends that man who is seeking after him, a divine angel. He has a divine visitation. Now, I want to just say this. Right now, with everything that is going on in our world and everything that's happening right now in this moment, and there are some who are listening to this message right now, you are a God-fearer. Maybe you had another tradition, maybe you were not raised Christian or whatever, but you have come to a place in your life, and the very reason you're even listening to this message is you know that the God of the Bible is the real God. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the real God. And you are honoring that, and you are curious, and you are listening. You're going in the light that you have, and I want you to know that God knows every one of you that is seeking after him. If there is someone who sincerely says, in the midst of this chaos, I need to know what's real, I need to know the truth, and you are making steps in practical ways to demonstrate that, your memorial goes up before God. God pays attention. Our Father in heaven sees you're seeking him. He sees your deeds. He sees your way of life. He hears your cries, your petitions, your prayers. And I am telling you, a divine visitation is on your way.
Pastor Ray Bentley will have more of today's study in just a moment. It's so encouraging when we hear from listeners and hear how these daily teachings have helped them. Take a listen.
Pastor Ray, my mother and father are elderly and very ill. They're in need of 24-hour care. Fortunately, we have 9 brothers and sisters to help as much as possible. We've been praying for their salvation, and our great God has answered our prayers. I'm sure we're not alone in caring for parents, and now I can pray better for those going through this same situation. As a relatively new believer, I find it helpful to also visit your website, raybentley.com, and to listen to your teaching repeatedly. To me, it's similar to watching a first-rate movie multiple times. Revisiting the teaching gives me such clarity. Thank you for getting these messages online to help me deepen my understanding.
And we hope you're taking advantage of the extra resources available to you online at raybentley.com. And we also hope these daily studies encourage you. If they do, let us know. Write to ray@raybentley.com. Again, that's ray@raybentley.com. And now more of today's message from Pastor Ray Bentley.
So let's look at verses 9 through 16. So God has been working with this man Cornelius. He now has an angel, and the angel tells him, hey, you need to go see this guy. He's my servant. His name is Peter. He's going to be at a house, and the angel tells him exactly where to go. Go to Simon. The guy's name is Simon. He is a tanner, and there's a guy named Peter. He's one of mine who is there. He'll tell you what to do. Wow, very, very specific. Now in verses 9 through 16, notice this. God moves from Cornelius, who he just told to go see Peter. So now the Lord gives another divine visitation. Peter has a divine visitation in the form of a vision. Now what I want you to realize is that when God begins to give you vision, spiritual vision and insight, know this, God is working on the other end to give others divine vision and insight, and he will bring those two together at the perfect time. Amen? So let's go back and beginning in verse 9. It says, the next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray. It was about the sixth hour, another time to pray. He went up on the roof to pray. And then he became very hungry, and he wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance, and he saw heaven opened, and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners, descending to him and let down to the earth. So it was like a covering over a picnic table. So I think this is funny. God will begin in the natural and then lead you into the spiritual. Peter was hungry, so he has a vision of food being let down from heaven to the earth. Isn't that cool? God uses the natural even to lead us into the spiritual. So it's coming down. He's hungry. He's looking at that. But then in verse 12, in it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, birds of the air. And the voice came to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." You're hungry, Peter. Rise, kill and eat. But Peter said, "Not so, Lord." Let me just say, you cannot say, "Not so, Lord." He is the Lord. You don't say no to the Lord. But Peter said no to the Lord on a few occasions. Anyway, he said, "Not so, Lord." In other words, he's reacting. And I love, God didn't strike him down. He didn't take his life or anything like that. God, he probably gets a chuckle out of it. There goes Peter again. "Not so, Lord. I'm not going to do that. For I have never eaten anything common or unclean." If you have a pen or a pencil, underline that. So what is happening is, here is Peter. Peter basically, even though he was a fisherman, was what we would call a very religious, conservative Jewish man, meaning he followed the kosher diet. The Bible in the Old Testament goes into a great length about the foods that are permitted and the foods that are not permitted. And by the way, we don't have time to go into all of it, but I do want to say this. It is not just arbitrary, but you can find a medical, even in modern times, reason why certain things are cleaner food and healthy for you and your digestion, and these are the things that are not. And so there was a reason behind all that. But the Jewish people were very different. They stood out, you know, from all Gentiles, because Gentiles believed in many gods, and they would take their food and they would put it in front of their little idols and worship them. And in the New Testament, it says, but the idol was nothing, but behind the idol was a real spirit or demon, and it created a lot of problems. So Jewish people are like, "We can't eat with you. We can't have fellowship with you." But God is now doing something absolutely divine and supernatural. He's not really trying to change Peter's diet as much as he is trying to change Peter's mind about people. There's a lesson involved here. Now, this is where many people get lost, and they get hung up on the earthly things and the do's and the don'ts rather than the spirit behind it, going all the way back to even the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are not arbitrary rules. Do this and don't do that or you get punished. But it's a father's wisdom giving us guidance, saying, avoid this, do not go this direction, because it will destroy your mind, it will destroy your heart, it will destroy your spirit, it will destroy your soul. But this is right and righteous and healthy and healing and encouraging. You were made this way, designed this way, and you will walk in the midst of my joy and pleasure and delight. But there were those who had kind of settled down into an earthly rules, regulations, and it's what I eat or don't eat. Of course, Jesus came along and said, but there's a principle behind that. There is a spirit behind that that is much deeper and much more profound in relationship with the loving Heavenly Father. So that's what the Lord was dealing with Peter. He's trying to teach him. But notice what Peter says. "I've never eaten anything common or unclean." And a voice spoke to him again a second time. "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." If God cleanses something and tells you it's okay, how many of you agree it's not good to argue with God? He can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, however he wants. If he says, "I've cleaned it, cleansed it, and it's okay," it's okay, whether we understand it or not. Now, here's what's also interesting. This vision of these things that Peter immediately goes, "No, that's unclean. I can't associate with that." And of course, the Lord is going to make the application that there are certain people, Gentiles, that you call common or unclean, and you won't have anything to do with them. But Peter, I want you to know my Father's heart loves those Gentiles, those lost sons and daughters. And my word and my will, and I sent my Son to be the Savior of the whole world, not just one people. So the Lord repeated this vision three times. So this is kind of obvious. If God says something once, how many would agree that's enough? If he repeats it three times, it's very important. So this vision happened three different times. And then the object was taken up into heaven. So Peter has a divine visitation in the form of a vision. God is getting ready to do something with Peter now. He's preparing Peter to realize, if there are foods that I can cleanse, there are human beings that I can cleanse, and that I'm going to send you to share the gospel with them. And in this story, so this is a story, this is a radical story of how the gospel is breaking through a barrier that was only inside a very, very small world of Jewish people. But now, for the first time, it's going to explode beyond the borders of Jews and literally reach every nation, every language, every kindred, every tribe, every tongue. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe and trust in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You remember in the gospel when the Lord Jesus said to Peter, I give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. You remember that? Yeah. Isn't it interesting that literally it was Peter on the day of Pentecost that was given the key to preach the very first message in Jerusalem, where 3,000 Jews from all over the world were there for the Feast of Pentecost and got saved. Peter was the key to open the door to the Jewish people first, but he was also the key to the Samaritans. In Acts chapter 8, the Lord brought Peter, who had the keys to the kingdom, to bring them into the Spirit, to bring them into the full knowledge and understanding of salvation. And now, thirdly, this is the third time that God is specifically using Peter, who has the key to reach the entire Gentile world, every country, every continent around the world. Now, Peter is not called to be the apostle to the Gentiles. We just read in the previous chapter, God called a man named Saul of Tarsus. He's going to be the missionary that goes and reaches all the Gentiles. But before Saul begins that international ministry, Peter is the one who opens the door. He is the man with the key to reach the first Gentile, who happens to be a Roman centurion stationed in Caesarea in ancient Judea, who is a man, devout man, a religious man, a praying man, a giving man. But note this, for all of his religion, praying and giving, is not saved. So Peter is going to bring to him. So God's prepared Cornelius with an angel. He's prepared Peter with a divine vision. And God is working on Peter while he is also working with Cornelius. Again, I want to emphasize this. God always works on both sides before he then brings them together. Typically, this is how God works.
Good clarification from Pastor Ray Bentley. We're considering the 10th chapter of Acts today on Maranatha Radio, and there's more to come in this message. Now, today's study is titled Visitation and Restoration. If you missed any part of the message, you can hear a replay on iTunes or at raybentley.com. That's raybentley.com. When you get to the homepage, you can leave a tribute to Pastor Ray's life and service to the Lord. And also click the word media, and you'll see the words watch, radio, and Devo. Three engaging ways you can enjoy Pastor Ray's insights via video, audio recording, or daily devotions. In fact, at the very bottom of the page, you can link to Pastor Ray's Facebook page, his podcast, his YouTube channel, and Twitter feed. And you'll find Pastor Ray's books there as well. His final book is The Days of Noah, a prophetic fiction novel, part of the Elijah Chronicles series. And raybentley.com is always where you'll find the best deals on Pastor Ray's resources. You can also donate securely right there on the site. Your investments help bring the whole gospel to the whole world. Our mailing address is Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.
Well, next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in the book of Acts. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.